take nothing with you for the journey. It's a very interesting gospel. In a way, it sounds like it doesn't apply to us. When we go on a journey, we want to have things with us. When we are on an assignment from God, we hope that He will give us gifts to use, you know, even if it's with our families today or yesterday for the holiday. You know, we all have to have diplomatic skills when we have certain people at our homes, you know, all these things. What is our Lord talking about here? He wants us to be dependent on Him. We're some of the 72, you know, like them. We don't know who these people were, but you can bet after the resurrection of the dead, these were very prominent in the early church. These were all witnesses of the Lord. And we too are called out. And He tells us very frankly, He says, I'm sending you out as my representative to your work, to your families, in the places where you will be this week. You're going to be my eyes and ears. You're going to be my representatives. And I tell you frankly, you are being sent out like sheep among wolves. So you're going to get eaten alive if you don't do it my way. Now, if you're not having success in the spiritual life, maybe we need to listen to what Christ is saying. Because He tells us very frankly, we are surrounded by enemies, both within and without. The spiritual realities that are now invisible to us, but will not be when we leave this earth, and whom we will be with forever, there are both good and evil waiting for us in the battle that we are doing, which is called our lives, the battle of good and evil that we must engage in every day. We have no choice. And so this is what this gospel is all about. One of the ways that God uses to strengthen us for the battle so that Satan might fall like lightning in our own lives and give us power to tread on serpents and scorpions, you know, the evil things that we that seem to overpower us in our lives, is when we don't have everything that we need for the journey. When you think about it, if I have a full suitcase, I don't need God to put anything in it, do I? So if I'm in ministry, I came to God and said, thank you, Lord, I have all the equipment I need, thank you very much. Well, that doesn't leave much room for the Holy Spirit, does it? But I don't know about you, but God often does His best work in me when I have nothing inside. It's often with what we have missing that we come looking for God, whether it's a sin that we need to confess or a lack of something in our lives. It draws us to Christ and Christ to us. So we will periodically unpack our luggage. We'll find that things are missing or that we go through trials. You know, I shared with you when I came back from Rome, I know what my traveling companion, Father Peter Smith, is preaching about this weekend. Take no traveling bag, you know. This priest literally fulfilled this when he went to Rome. And I said to myself, I thank you, Lord, that I was in lost luggage to help him, but I also thank you that I only took a carry-on. Praise the Lord, you know. First time I've ever done that in any trip I've ever taken in my life, let alone to Europe. But God challenged me, do you really need all this stuff? It was a spiritual thing. Can I just take the minimum, just once? And I got my luggage as a result of that inspiration. But when I got there, you know, others were lacking a room for almost one day. That was their lack. And I thought, well, I have escaped this, you know. But when on the way home, of course, I left my jacket at the New York Kennedy Airport. It had my pocket computer case in it. Without that, it took less than a week for me to break my second brain here that I'm now using my old one. And then a week later, my other computer, as you know, sort of caught on fire again. And so now here I am, technology-less. And I said, Lord, I need these things. And He said, no, you don't. You need me. And I will take care of you. And you need to learn patience. And that's exactly what I've been learning with this. And then I got a cold. I says, Lord, you know, He says, leave it up to me. You know, you could come up with a list of woes just like that in your own life. We get them every week. What's the point? God wants to fill us with His Spirit. We can't do it alone. We must learn our dependence on God if we're going to make any progress in the spiritual life. The self-satisfied, the sufficient, those who have everything are the ones that crucified and killed Jesus. And it's still true today. It's the ones that need something that know they need a Savior. And so we look here, and Jesus, he sends these people out, and they come back, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky." The problem is, a lot of us don't even believe that Satan exists. We're probably not even sure about angels because we've never seen them. But you know, you can't, you read the Gospels, go home and look at the pages, you can hardly turn a page of the Gospels without finding a reference to an angel or a demon on it. You take that out of the Gospels, you take the miracles out of the Gospels, you've got nothing left. We have no choice but to take Christ at his word. How can we doubt the Son of God who, after all, created everything? He wants to open our eyes to what's really going on in this world. We are somewhat in the dark here. We are, if we don't believe in the spiritual warfare that we are involved in, we are disarmed against the power of the enemy. And our Lord wants us to understand how things really are in this world. That there is the reality of the supernatural. And there is an enemy to our soul, both within the sins that we have held on to, and without, of the angels, the devils that would like to pull us in their direction. And the guardian angels were given that also are working on the spiritual level, which result in the inspirations and the graces that we do. Oftentimes are coming into our minds. It's the angel of God. I made a call of mercy to a nun last week. You know, I don't know why it came into my head, but when I called her, she said, "Father Gary, it's funny, but I sent her my Rome picture. She said, I have your Rome pictures on the screen, and I have the phone in my hand to call you." I said, "There's the Holy Spirit, you see." That was a good angel, I'm sure, on both sides. Let us know this is in the will of God. Marvelous. And he wants to do this, but we have to trust him. How do we use this spiritual warfare? Our Lord wants Satan and the force of evil to fall like lightning. Do I even realize that I have a problem in some areas? The first rule of life is to acknowledge my sin and my weakness. How can God come in if we don't invite him into the areas of our problems? If you don't know what they are, the best thing to do is each day, at some point during the day, St. Ignatius used to say three times a day, but even once, how did I do today? Where did I listen to the Spirit? Where did I block the Spirit? Where do I need to grow? Where have I sinned? Where am I doing well? Take a couple of minutes, change your life. The second, of course, thing to do after that is, if I found a serious sin on my soul, I want to repent of that. I want to go to warfare against it. I want to go to confession, because a confession is an exorcism. It throws Satan completely out of our lives and gives us a clean slate. Then we have to invite something good to come in, or the evil's going to come right back. We have to put new furniture in the living room, not just dust and clean, and throw out the occupants that we don't want there anymore. We don't want these people at dinner. Goodbye. They're going to come in the window if we don't close it. So we want new guests to come in, and that's the Holy Spirit. How do we invite those guests to come in? This is where Scripture comes in. We hear the Scriptures every Sunday at Mass. So critical. When we come to Sunday Mass, over two years, we hear almost all of the New Testament and a good part of the Old Testament. Am I holding on to the Scriptures? Do I know the Scriptures? One of the most powerful ways to pray with the Scriptures is just to use the Psalms of praise. You know, a couple of months ago, I gave out these sheets: praise, worship, honor, glory, power, blessing to our God forever and ever. I've got a stack of them left over. I keep putting them around the house. And when I have a bad week, like I did this week, for some reason this medicine keeps me awake at night. And so I wake up in the morning and I'm saying, praise, honor, worship, power. I'm going to get the day started off right so I'm not griping all day long and doing the devil's work. And by God, it works. I'm telling you, I've had more joy this last few days doing that than I've in a month of Sundays. and I feel lousy. Let me tell you, sorry, I feel lousy. But God brings that joy out, you know. Am I using the power of prayer effectively? Am I using the power of praise, especially when I don't feel like it? There's a real power. That'll chase any devil that's hanging around away. They can't stand praise. Believe me, if there's one way to get rid of an evil spirit in your life, start thanking God. They'll leave in a hurry. This is a weapon of righteousness, you see. Some people think they don't have time to read the Bible. I know some people put a Bible by the bed and open it and read a passage when they get up. That's a good idea. I'm too grouchy to do that in the morning. But I put one by the door and read it as I go out. I would suggest you put a little Bible by the computer before you check that email. I know you're all going to do that today. Why not open the Bible and read a passage first? Find your own answer, but get the Bible in your life. The third really critical element in spiritual warfare is, how am I living? Am I doing acts of kindness for others? This is so critical. Every time I do an act of love, mighty forces come to my aid immediately, because this makes me like God. This is what God does for us all day long. He's doing kind actions. Sometimes the kindest thing he does for us is to take something away. I know some of you are suffering deeply with terrible illnesses and loss of job. Sometimes we lose our reputation. Yet in the long run, God wants to fill that hole with his love if we let him. Our neediness becomes an opportunity for grace, not for failure and depression. So we ask our Lord then, he too sends us forth like the 72 in this gospel, to the places that he intends to visit through you. You are his eyes and ears, his witnesses. He's not limited to priests and nuns. And his peace will rest on us. He will give us his Holy Spirit to go with us. The demons will be subject to us. We will be given the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and the full force of the enemy. Nothing will harm us. Our names will be written in heaven. If we allow God to work through that which we lack and not try to carry all our luggage with us, if we use the forces of the spiritual warfare, the scriptures, confession, examining our lives, repentance, and works of love and mercy and social justice, these are the things in which we will triumph, and we too will find that the power of evil cannot stand before us by the power of God, and Satan himself will fall like lightning.